Skinny fries.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm a little overwhelmed, a little confused. Not sure where I'm supposed to look, but
welcome
otherwise
to
I'm
the
good.
First episode with actual video.
Yes. Not Zoom video. Yeah. So we are recording real video on our real cameras.
Real cameras.
And I have been tasked with the real job of making it look good.
Yeah.
It won't. Just know that the effort was there, the skill is not.
I hope we're judged on our intentions more than our actions.
Yes.
As of any good character. I'm excited for the episode this week. I think I'm going to kick it to you, the first one. You good with that?
I think I am ready. We'll find out.
So
I got my sources.
I had a really nice dinner with a friend, and it was his 40th birthday. We went out. It was really great.
Okay.
And I was really interested in how the staff acted to my just words of affirmation, right? They, you know, poured water, and I was like, oh, thank you so much. And like, hey, thanks for saying thank you. And there was a moment for me of the realization of what it's like in the service industry. And so as I went to tip, I realized that all three of us were waiters, so the three people eating dinner. Mm-hmm. And so I tend to tip a little bit differently than other people. And I you know, thinking about that in America, like, Amir, what's the skinny on tipping?
I myself too have been a waiter at one point in my life. And I think that's the thing, right? When you've been a server or a waiter, or you worked in the food and beverage industry, you generally tend to tip more. And I'm glad you asked that question, because I don't know about you, but lately I have noticed a couple things when it comes to tipping. One, everybody's asking for more tips than they ever have. And two, everybody is asking for tips. I don't get it. So,
what do you mean everybody's
asking for tips? Well, so like, okay, so for example, the other day I go to Shake Shack and, you know, they have the little iPad kiosks where you can just order yourself.
Yep.
And then it asks you for a tip. Mm-hmm. What am I tipping? The iPad? Or am I tipping the person who's getting paid to cook the food? So anyway, so it got me really thinking about this, and I'm being very cynical, but I mean, again, I think, and I'll get to this, but I do think that we're getting a little out of control here with tipping, but I think there's some reasons behind it. And so let's talk about it. So I'm glad you asked. So we talked about this before the show, and you mentioned that I tend to be the one with the stats and the research and the notes. So I do have some notes. I do have some research, and I really want to talk about tipping in three different categories. Okay. So I want to talk about it in the past tense, how it started, how it became to be a thing, why it's a thing now today. I want to talk about the way it looks today, and I kind of want to talk about briefly about where it's heading in the future and where it could potentially go, okay? So let me back up a little bit. We're going to get kind of high level, but going to go way back to the Middle Ages. The Middle Ages is when tipping actually began in Europe. And back then, people lived in a federal system, right? There was masters and there were servants. And so as a master, your servants did a job for you and you tipped them. So not only was it kind of a way of compensating a little bit more to your servants, but in a way, it also established those classes, right? You are my servant. I am giving you money for a task. You are inferior to me. I am your master, right? So that's kind of how it began. Transitioned from masters and servants to customers and employees around the 18th century. So it kind of went from the federal system idea of, you know, you've got your maid and your nanny and whatever, to you've got your customers and you've got your employees. In fact, when we fast forward a little bit into the 19th century, tipping had such a negative connotation to the way it was established around this federal system that it became to be known as a cancer in the breast of democracy. So that is essentially how it was viewed. It was really bad. It really helped establish this class system, and in a democratic society, it became to be viewed as a cancer. Mm-hmm. So fast forward to post-Civil War U.S., this is when it really actually starts to take off here in the States. Now, prior to this, mind you, tipping was not really a thing in the U.S., big thing in Europe. One thing we'll see as time goes on is that mentality shifts completely. So post-Civil War, it really started to be established because it put into put in place a way for employees and companies to get away with having labor and not having to pay them more. Around that same time, federal laws were put in place for minimum wage, and the food and beverage industry was actually exempt from those.
Mm-hmm.
So if you work in food and beverage, and that still holds true today, you do not have to pay your employees a minimum wage because you... In some states, yeah. Most states. The one-offs are the states that have overturned that and implemented higher wages themselves. So, and around the same time, restaurants began doing the same thing. So they began hiring employees. And back then, there was actually a period of time where restaurants would hire employees and not pay them at all. Those employees would only live off tips, and that would be their wage. So essentially, it's free labor because you're not paying the tips either. Your customers are paying that. There was a company based out of Chicago called the Pullman Car Company. This is one of the first companies to take that method, that ideology, and move it outside of the food and beverage industry. So the Pullman Car Company designed carriages, like horse and carriages. And when you have carriages, you have a need for porters. You need people to load and unload people's luggage and trunks and stuff. And the Pullman Car Company specifically would only hire Southern black men to be their porters. And they would pay them $27.50 a month, which was not a livable wage back then because they had to because of the minimum wage requirements. And essentially, everything was based around the ability to earn tips. So in a weird way, when you think about how tipping started in this country, we approached it as a cancer in the breast of democracy because in Europe, it established a class system, right? It kind of established this federal system. And we did the same thing here in the States. We would hire employees and not pay them. I mean, that is essentially... I mean, I don't want to say slavery, but it is, right? Sure. You're not paying them. So now let's fast forward into the present. When I say present, I want to start in the 50s because I want to throw out some numbers here that are pretty interesting. In the 1950s, the average tip was 10%. By the 70s and 80s, that had gone up to 15%. In 2023, the average tip range is anywhere from 15 to 25%, with the federal average now coming in at 21%. Mm-hmm. So now I want to back up to something we talked about at the beginning. You and I are both servers at one point in our lives. And again, as have been a waiter or server, you tend to tip more when you go places because you've walked in those shoes.
Right.
I always used to tip 20%. Now when I look at this, my 20% tip is below the national average for tipping.
Right.
And this has kind of come to coin a term called tipflation. And it really kickstarted during COVID. So with everything shutting down and businesses and everybody kind of struggling during COVID, there was a big pressure that was put on tipping. And people found themselves actually tipping for things that they'd never tipped before. It just became a thing. You'd go out, finally have somebody working, you know, they're risking life and health essentially to provide a service, and you would reward them. You'd give them a tip, even if it was something that you normally would never tip on. And restaurants really took this as well and ran with it. So what restaurants began to see and do was they began to notice that when you do delivery, people are tipping you quite a bit for delivery, usually up to 30%. So they decided to, why not take that same pay and apply it towards dine-in? Why not increase the tips? Why not start to build in tips? And one of the big things, let me get to this, because one of the big things that helped spear this was technology and the way payment systems have changed and payment kiosks have changed. But I got some more numbers for you. So this is great. I know, I'm a numbers guy. So February of 2020, this is a month before COVID started, right? 43% of remote transactions, and this is specifically in the food and beverage industry, 43% of transactions had tips offered. 3 years later, February of 2023, 75% of remote transactions in the food and drink or beverage industry had tips offered. That is insane. You're talking about almost double. And that goes into the payment kiosk part. So I don't know if you've noticed this. I think you have. You and I tend to go out a lot. We get coffee a lot. We go different places. And have you noticed how whether somebody's using Square or Clover or any of these payment systems, you now have like three giant buttons for tipping. And they're all like, they're, you know, none of them are like 10%. They're like 15, 18, 25%, right? That has made a huge impact on the way people tip. In fact, 22% of people say that they feel the need to tip more when they're presented with those options. So let me turn this over to you real quick. Have you noticed yourself tipping more than you used to for the same kind of services in the past? And do you find yourself just doing it because the option is there, or do you still tip based on the service that you receive?
So no, I don't find myself tipping more, but that is because I have always been a bit of an egregious tipper. So I didn't take serving as a mechanism to tip 20%. Like I probably tip 30% and always have in more if the numbers round. You know, for me, especially in a great service experience, like I know how crappy that pay is. And so I've always tipped quite a bit. The use of those things, I think what it's reshaped is, you know, it's funny, it was at Starbucks yesterday. I was doing a mobile order, and in the mobile app, they actually present tipping really terribly. Mm-hmm. It's just on the last screen. There's a button that says, do you want to tip? And I don't mean to miss it, but I miss it. Like I unintentionally miss it. And I would happily tip them. I'm glad to tip them, because where I differ on the belief is I'm not tipping the Shake Shack iPad. I'm tipping the cook in the back, who's not part of the tipping structure if you only tip the service side. Mm-hmm. And so I am happy to facilitate that, because my assumption is that the establishment is then dispersing those tips amongst everybody. Now, with that said, you and I both know that there are many places that don't do that well.
Correct.
I tend to be really careful about where I'm going to spend my money to make sure that it is one. And if I find out that that's how they treat their employees, then I just won't shop there.
Yeah. And, you know, I think you said something that kind of got me to think about something. So you're happy to tip because you're hopeful that that money goes not to the person taking the order per se, but to the cooks in the back and, you know, the dishwashers and whoever else is working behind the scenes to make that meal for you, right?
Yeah.
This is kind of a transformation for the way it's always been. So historically, let's say you go to a restaurant, you order a meal. You go through the whole course of the night, you're presented with a bill, and then you apply a tip based on your experience, based on the food, based on everything else.
Yep.
In this system, you are tipping with two hopes. One, that everything will be made right and cooked properly and to your satisfaction. And two, that money gets distributed evenly between the people who make it. I guess the question I would ask is, if you went through drive-thru to Taco Bell tomorrow, regardless of whether, would you tip them for taking your order at Taco Bell? Because there's no difference between them and the people at Shake Shack. It's just a drive-thru line.
Yeah, if they took tips, I would. Yeah.
I think, what would you do if your food was wrong or cold or nasty or shitty?
Oh, I don't care about that. That is not what I equate to what the purpose of the tip is.
Okay.
I get that that's how people do that. And I do think there's room for extended gratuity beyond when someone goes above and beyond, does something exemplary.
Sure.
But tipping, I mean, sadly, tipping is to pay for shitty wages. And so I'm not saying I should have to do that. I'm very much in the belief that we should just pay a livable wage and we shouldn't have to have a tipping culture. But we do in this country.
You're doing it to do your part to try to help.
And so unfortunately, that's my plight, right? It doesn't bother me to do it because that is the plight of that. And the way that I've always viewed it and try to teach my kids is also, you know, when you're, you know, I was a waiter when I was 17 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you would go into some shifts where it's like, okay, I need to work a double today because I have to pay my car payment.
Yep.
There's living paycheck to paycheck and there's living day to day. And a lot of times in the service culture, you are quite literally living day to day. And so when someone comes in and they take a table and they've got 14 people and they stiff you, like you are talking about not being able to pay rent because of that decision that person's making, right?
Right.
So the way that I've always viewed it is, in that season of my life, I was very overwhelmed with joy at the thought of a $20 tip instead of a $10 tip. Like, it was a, I remember this couple that used to come in every Tuesday when I worked at Mimi's, and they would leave $20. And I just remember the two men. Like, I can vividly, I can picture them in my brain because that was so meaningful to me. The reality of it is, and this is a privileged statement, but today the difference between me leaving $15 and $20 isn't going to radically affect my life.
Right.
And the way I view it and want my kids to learn is, if it's going to affect their life more than it's going to affect your life, then do the thing that helps them.
Yeah.
And so I just try to balance those scales that way.
I respect that. And I try to do that too. Right. I think for me, it's kind of a balance between, like, I'm with you. We need to pay more. I want to do my part to make it right. Sometimes it just seems egregious because I also look at it from the other side of just corporate greed. So that now takes me to my third point, which is, what do we have to look forward to? And to build off of that segue from you, people are beginning to revolt against tipping. I mean, people are starting to notice it. The reason we're talking about it on this episode is because it's been a thing that we have talked about, that it is being talked about socially in this time frame of history. And America is very different. You know, early on, I talked about how it began in Europe and America was against tipping, very much against tipping. And then that kind of cycle shifted. Now, a lot of European countries, if not all European countries, don't tip. Asian right. countries don't tip. And what they've actually began to, this shift actually began in the 20th century. And what businesses began to notice is that their business was more equitable if they added gratuity into their bills mm-hmm. for their customers and actually paid their employees more.
Right.
Their employees were happier. The customers didn't mind. And it's a better system. It takes so much pressure off of the customer. It encourages the employees to all work together. The business has a better rapport with their customers and their employees. And you're taking care of your people, which is kind of what it all comes down to, right?
Right.
We have a big struggle in this country today when it comes to pay, living wage, inflation's a hot topic. I mean, it is ridiculous that there are states where you can go be a server today and still make $3 an hour. You know, and on top of all of that, there are incentives by the government to actually pay employers
mm-hmm. yep.
money for having their employees report their wages. You know, it's notorious that a lot of employees don't report cash tips.
Right.
They don't report it. I never did. Right. I mean, it's a thing because you get taxed on it and you make such little money to begin with. You don't want to get taxed on that. You get taxed on your credit card tips and on your hourly. And so this is a way for governments to try to get employees more money, or employers, sorry, more money, who encourage your employees to report their wages or their tips, but they're still not paying them more. It is, in a sense, it's like capitalism at its finest, but at its worst, right? This is corporate greed coming in to take advantage. They raise prices, and then they count on us, the consumers, to actually not only pay more for the goods, but then pay their employees in a roundabout way.
Yeah.
It's a broken system. But people are starting to revolt. I'm really, really interested to see where this goes. I have a very torn... I'm very torn internally on tipping. I'm with you. I want to take care of people. I think it's really important, as somebody especially who walked in those shoes before, mm-hmm. to take care of people. My challenge is, If I don't know what the company standards are, meaning does my tip go, like Starbucks, for example, the tips go in, they get split up by hours worked, go to all employees, not per shift, just all employees, right? Total tips, all employees, hours worked, here you go. Love that. What I don't know is that if I tip the person at Panda, does that money go to the manager? Does that money go to the person who took my order? Does that money go to the busboy? Like, who does that go to? And in those situations, I'm really torn because I don't want to put more money in the pockets of people who aren't paying their employees. And I guess I would say that's the skinny on tipping.